Good morning, Paul Andrigo here, Toronto Real Estate Unfiltered. It's October the 2nd. We're right into the October weather, and hopefully you guys are paying attention to what's going on both in your own personal economy, which is all that matters, and of course those of you in Toronto and the GTA, you're paying attention to the real estate economy, because that is its own sort of separate beast, and that's something that I'm very happy to say I've been on the ground floor, the sort of the ground level of, for almost 20 years, and about 90 odd days, it'll be 20 years of me being on the ground floor. So I think I've got a good handle on it, and hopefully when you're looking for information, you're able to distinguish between advice, expert advice, and opinion, because there's probably a good chance that the guy in your office, and I've heard from all of you, by the way, I know all of your names because my clients have told me who you are. Apparently each one of you is the office expert in real estate because, and I quote, you've bought two properties over the last 10 years. And meanwhile, having bought and sold, I don't want to get into the numbers, but a lot of properties over the years for my clients. I've got a little bit more expert advice for you that will hopefully, and I try to make it as unfiltered as possible. And that's what today's segment's about, basically the tale of two souls. So the tale of two souls is basically whenever I see sort of an unusual situation going on a street or in an area in Toronto, I think it's worth sharing because I don't ever think that it's exclusive to one area when it happens. So in one part of Toronto, I'm driving down the street, and I'm in this area quite regularly, and there's two houses that were for sale. There's a couple of houses on the street for sale, but I'll just kind of reference these two because these two were basically identical. So essentially the difference between the two, and I'm not going to use the addresses or the real numbers, but basically assume that one was for sale for $500,000 and the other one was for sale for $700,000. Actually, let's say $8,000. So one was about $300,000 more. Same exact house, pretty much. No assessment would probably say otherwise. So these two houses were for the most part identical in reality and on paper. So one was priced at $500, the other one was priced at $8,000. So the one that was in the $500 range, they basically decided to do a little bit of marketing and to possibly work on building up offers. So whether you agree with that procedure or not is sort of, I guess I've kind of decided that it's definitely out of my hands in the last few years because I've polled people, I've asked numerous people what they prefer to do, and no one that is in the position of seeing a property that's valued at its exact market value wants to put an offer in on it. It's almost always the case where the eBay auction style scenario is preferred by them. And this is just what's happened over the last few years, and it remains that way for now. So this particular house that was listed for $500,000, they ended up selling for $100,000 over asking. So they obviously would have, finished off at around the $600,000 mark. So the $800,000 property right now is, I guess I should say $700,000, is about it's listed now $100,000 over what someone bid for the property next door. So being sort of a student of, again, my town, my city, and understanding that all real estate is local, I pay very close attention to this information, and I don't let any of it sort of, you know, go over my head, and I don't take any of it for granted, simply because of the fact that you have to be watching all sort of the, you know, all the small things, all the minor details do add up. There's a scene in the movie Casino where they talk about Sam Rothstein and how good of a bookie he was, and how he would consider stuff. As you know, he would go as far as to find out what sort of bounce you get off different floors, and you know, sort of the emotional and mental status of the players if someone just broke up with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, things like that. And that's sort of my approach as well to real estate. I don't like just sort of being on the surface. And of course, the stats that you see for the most part on the news are the surface stats. So they're not really going to tell you very much, I'm afraid to say. A lot of them, as you well know, are written to to sell ads and to get your eyeballs on there, clickbait, whatever you want to call it. So a lot of the stuff that you'll see that, of course, is very, controversial. That's the stuff you'll see there. And if you look a little deeper, you'll actually probably find out that it's not even remotely like that at all. It's not nearly as bad as it seems if you look at all the facts. But that's the thing. Most people are not going to look at all the facts because they're just not provided in that way. So getting back to this property that I'm comparing, obviously, with the two properties and the tale of the two sold, one of them, again, ended up selling, and I believe that when people are in a position where they're bidding for it, you'll know from that bidding scenario what someone's willing to pay for a property. To have it listed for $100,000 more than that in price essentially tells you that there's a situation where someone's promised someone else a certain price. And that kind of jumps over into something that I consider probably one of the dirtiest parts of real estate, even though it's not nearly discussed enough. And that is called buying the listing. I actually call that, I refer to it as the BTL scam. So anybody who's in a position like that, who you trust to give you information about the value of your property, and they give you a price that is so far over. And of course, again, there's allowances for minor mistakes. If you haven't been doing this long enough, you're going to make minor mistakes on price. But in the last few weeks, I can tell you in a few different areas where I've seen price, you know, reductions. I saw several in the $500,000 range. Several in the $500,000 range. One this week that my client of mine lives in this particular building, there was $100,000 price reduction. And again, if that doesn't open your eyes, if you're a seller and you're being told that you have to reduce by $100,000, you need to right at that moment say, you know what, cancel my contract. Right at that moment, cancel the fucking contract. And the reason why is because you were lied to about that. What else have you been lied to about to get the listing? To, of course, again, the agent that gets the listing, like all of us who get a listing, usually there are some added benefits that come from that. There's marketing that we do, and there's other buyers and other people that we end up talking to, other sellers. But to get it on that premise where it's so radically overpriced. So I don't know what the exact number is, but again, $100,000, to me, that would be the mark, and again, unless you're talking about a $5 million property, but for the average $1 or $2 million property, that's still a big chunk of change. For a million, obviously, $100,000 is a 10% mistake. That's huge, and even if it's a 5% mistake, 5% of $2 million is still a lot of money to be making a mistake over. So I'm not talking about a 1% or 2% change. So what I'm saying is that if we haven't connected yet, and if you're in a position where you're able to talk to me before you make a decision, and you can contact me, I cannot reach out to you. That's actually, that's part of the rules. I will never do that. I have no desire to do that. I'm pretty busy with my own clients where I don't need to you know, step over anybody else's grass or step on anybody's toes. You know, to me, if the listing again was acquired in a in a fair manner, where again there wasn't a buying the listing scam in place, then of course again it's fair game. Otherwise, you need to even include, and this is to those of you who are signing agreements right now, is if you are asked to do a 10% or more price reduction within the first 30 days, you've been scammed. You need to make sure there's a cancellation clause in there to make sure that you are not the next victim of that. There's even one that's, that I'm aware of that is now, I believe, on their third or fourth time listing. Met with me a couple of months back. I gave a very realistic, unfiltered explanation about what needs to happen, and unfortunately this particular person has done the exact opposite, and now they're on to agent number two and they're following the exact same protocol. Essentially, somebody was willing to take their listing at a high price and is just trying to be patient and see, you know, how much of a price reduction they can get. Just so that you know how much this means to me and how genuine I am about what I'm saying right now, is I have not done one single price reduction or price increase on any of my listings for sale in 2019. This is provable. I can show you every one of my solds when we meet, and you'll understand that for the most part, most of them have sold over asking, but none of them had a price reduction or any sort of a change up or down. And that's something that, again, I don't work, this doesn't happen overnight. None of this is by accident. I am very deep in thought and in planning for every listing that I take on, and I'm giving you the absolute safe numbers as far as where we're supposed to be, what the lower range is, what the mid range is, and what the high range is of where you can be priced, and of course the pros and cons of each of those strategies, because there's no one strategy that does not have risk. There is no safe choice when it comes to listing. If you list over price, you are essentially going to be helping other people sell. You need to understand, and you need to be told that by someone who knows what they're talking about, not just someone who's, you know, maybe close to you or a friend from high school or any of that kind of stuff. In this case, something this important, it makes sense to have someone besides someone you're close to. You need to actually, and this is not just true of you guys, this is true of me too. As a realtor, I've had to sort of step back and look at what I'm doing as far as the type of work I'm doing, the marketing, the client programs, all that kind of stuff. Sort of step back sometimes, take a few days off, literally just sort of retire. I call it sort of temporary retirement. And I've done this a bunch of times, and I don't tell anybody that I'm retired. It's just sort of a mental state. So what you need to do is also be objective enough to be able to step back from your situation. And again, talk to me. Spend like just 20 minutes even over a coffee or a beer, and I'll buy either or both. And make sure that you get the right information before you sign on the dotted line, especially if you're in the position where you're signing on the dotted line for a humongous, just an absolute, just huge, catastrophic mistake, which, again, I see them all the time. So I know that someone today in Toronto or the GTA is signing some paperwork with a realtor and making the same catastrophic mistake that could have been prevented had they simply sat down with me and got at least a second opinion. I'm not saying you have to go with me. Believe me, I've had enough meetings over the years where I'm actually not only okay with you saying no to me, I actually understand that the more times I hear the no, the more likely I'm going to hear a yes from somebody else. So I'm absolutely fine. Usually, as far as, you know, when it comes to saying, oh, we've chosen somebody else, I almost always know the reasons why. It usually has to do with something to do with a discount or something else, which inevitably always leads back to them thinking, oh man, we really should have gone with the other guy that we talked to, but now we feel ashamed and we can't call him. And this is something that happens, and I don't want anybody to ever feel that way. In my, again, I sort of look at everything to do with real estate the same way I look at rugby. There's no hard feelings. Once we're off the field, it's all good. So don't even hesitate to call me and say, we'd like to go with you, we're ready to go now. And yes, I will do my best to correct what you may have done, but only if the mistakes are current and they're not hugely catastrophic, meaning that you didn't foolishly agree to some price range that was so far out of reality that you shouldn't even have signed anything. So for a lot of you, that's why the whole discussion about price, we don't even get to the exact pricing of your property until, again, we're in a contract together, we're in an agreement, and then you'll understand that pricing for me is sort of a constant work in progress. The listing itself is a work in progress. I've got ones right now that I've already got signed for 2020, and we're in right now in planning mode. It's a work in progress. The final descriptions and the final pricing is still months away. And of course, for me, that's such an important thing for you to understand. So even the listing price that we may agree on, which could just be, again, penciled in, and it always is with me, by the way. And also, the other thing that I do that I don't know if anybody else is doing is I will put in writing is that if I ask you for a price adjustment of any significant amount, anything like over 5%, that you have the absolute right to cancel the agreement at that point. So I'll put my money on the line. I'll put my own reputation on the line and let you know that even if I've spent thousands of dollars on your listing, if I ever ask you to do that much of a massive price reduction, then I'm admitting that I bought your listing, and I don't do that. I don't buy the listing. And again, you have to understand that me being honest with you up front isn't always pleasant. Sometimes it's a little bit painful, and yes, over the years I've helped make my clients millions, but I've also personally lost a lot of money because of the fact that I was honest, and the person who ended up getting getting that listing ended up doing the thing that I just explained to you, which is starting off way too high and then slowly chopping until the point where the seller has no choice, and maybe they bought, they're just perhaps in a position where they didn't have, they really didn't have all that time to begin with. And then the agent basically just sat there sort of like a vulture and waited for the opportunity to strike, and that's what they did. So I won't do that to you, and I'll put that in writing to that effect, even after, I'll make the, again, the financial commitment. Because the minute a listing signed with me, whether it's for, you know, this year, next year, wherever it is, I'm committing funds up to a year in advance for that property, for the marketing that I know I'm going to need, for the ideas that I have, which vary. Almost always, it's going to be a grand opening event. There's also going to be a lot of behind-the-scenes marketing. In fact, there's a 21-point plan that happens in boot camp for my sellers that is so detailed that, again, it's become sort of the overwhelming, powerful force in my business at mysoldreport.com. But I also want you to understand that, again, I put my money and I put my time, which is more important because money you can replace, time you cannot. I put my time, I invest my time in creating, again, as much possible success as I can for my clients. So I'm hoping that today's episode was enjoyable, and of course I'm always hoping to educate and as well warn you about the pitfalls of greed is what I'm saying. It's okay to want to be rich and successful as long as you understand that it's important for you to be also honest with people and people be honest to you. If you hire someone on the basis of dishonesty that will, say things that aren't true, that will, you know, sometimes I've heard of some agents even doing far worse than that and getting away with it, I don't want you to be in that position. Working with me, hiring me exclusively, and being featured on my podcast is such a clear advantage that the decision should be easier than it really is, and you guys should be knocking on my door on a daily basis, more so than you are, because right now, again, I've got my boot camps, my buyer, seller, and renter boot camps training. They're all filled up until the middle of the month, so there's Their space is now opening at the end of the month, and again, this is an important week-long course that is a combination of e-learning and in-real-life training that we do, but it has to be done before you ever, you know, start on the process, before there's ever a sign in the lawn. So the sooner we meet, like I'm talking about 3 months and even 3 years, is better. The sooner we meet and connect and develop a relationship, the better the whole process is going to be for whatever it is you're doing. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have yourselves a great day.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.